Hi, folks. I'm Jalene Fenner with Strong Tower Radio with my co-host,
Tom Mazure.
And Tom, we are again doing a live recording at the Michigan Conference Seventh-day Adventist Camp Meeting.
We always do interviews with live people.
With live people, yes, we do. And in the studio with us today, we have Don McLafferty. Correct name?
That's right.
Okay. And he's a very busy man at this camp meeting. He's doing a morning meeting plus two seminars. And you've been to the morning meeting.
Wonderful. It's every day he gives us assignment, and it's memorable about our family and how the people we work with, minister to, and my life's going to be improved and changed.
Well, I've not been to the morning meeting, but I've been listening on the radio because here they have it live. And it's interesting because he has assignments and has little groups, and they get together, and then so like it's dead air almost on the radio, but he talks to us. And so I appreciate that, Don. That's nice.
Praise God.
Okay. Well, before we get started, why don't you have a word of prayer, Tom?
Our great Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you are always wooing us.
Amen.
Pursuing us, and you have where you accept us as who we are, and then you want to improve and show us yourself and include us in it. Thank you for the ministry that Pastor Don is in and is continuing to share with us. Help that come through to our radio audience. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So, Don, why don't you tell us a little bit about you? You're an ordained pastor.
Yes.
You've been in ministry a long time, mm-hmm. and where do you live?
Okay. In any order? Or
I don't care.
Okay. let's see. I am a disciple of Jesus. That's first and foremost. I am the very thankful and grateful husband to my wife, April, for 37 years,
Amen.
And she's
Good.
Still my girlfriend. And we have three children, and I've been a pastor in the Seventh-day Adventist Church for 25 years plus as a paid pastor. And then since then, the last 7 years, I've had the joy of being a full-time volunteer missionary, and both are precious to me.
What is the difference between a pastorate in a established church and in full-time missionary, like, how is it different?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is both mission, you know, local mission versus abroad, but my calling is to go anytime, anywhere, any cost that Jesus calls me to go somewhere. When I was pastoring a congregation, of course, I was responsible for that local congregation. I still did mission work then also, but I had to really make sure that I was keeping time set aside, major amounts of time each week to shepherd that flock. But this calling is to go anywhere on the planet that God calls, and especially to call for revival, and then to equip people to call for revival, to disciple children, youth, and adults, and then especially equip them to disciple their children and their youth and families.
How has that spiritually affected you, this faith ministry?
Oh, it stretched my faith. In fact, when the call came at 3 a.m. one morning from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, by the way, he doesn't talk to me audibly like Don, like that, you know. So, but that still small voice of God that we know in Scripture,
yeah.
He awakened me at 3 a.m. one morning, and I knew it was him. I thought, wow. God's awakening me, and I wonder if he has something to tell me special this morning, because for several months we've been praying as a couple about what to do. We have a nonprofit ministry around the world called In Discipleship, and then we had our local congregation that's pastoring, and we had been praying for a couple months. Both were growing, and that makes you do the splits after a while.
Yes.
So on that morning, God woke me up. I went out into the mountains, and I said, God, what's on your heart? And to make a long story short, that still small voice of God, he walked me through a very incredible invitation. He said, now is the time for you to focus in this end of time. And I'm calling you to step into the Jordan, resign from being a paid pastor, and go wherever I call you to especially call for revival and to disciple.
So that would especially be hard because you're not sure where the income's going to come to support yourself and your family.
Right. And I already thought I was in the Jordan, which as a pastor, I was walking in the Jordan by faith, but with salary, you know, every 2 weeks. And so this is the question I asked of God. I said, okay. I said, I am a married man, and we do have 3 children at the time, all at home. Not all at home, I should say, but under our care, and they're all in Seventh-day Adventist education, which is a price. And so I said—
obligations.
Right.
Financial ones.
Right. So I asked God, I said, would you like me to go to people of means that have worked with me on mission projects and ask them,
me.
Right? And would you like me to ask them one by one, would you like to be one of my sponsors? I thought that was maybe a very practical idea. And God said, in your case, absolutely not. Now, I'm not saying that's bad for another ministry. I'm just saying for me, he told me not to do that.
Right. So one of the things you shared, you tried to make it very practical, hands-on in your morning seminar, and I assume my wife is going to your afternoon one, and she came back and talked to us about things that we want to look at in,
oh, good.
In our family.
Mm-hmm.
But you said, put both your hands out. This is one of the early mm-hmm. seminars. Mm-hmm. And put your Bible into one of your hands.
Yes.
And that God speaks to us. We read the scriptures. Mm-hmm. He speaks through our mind. And then you have the other hand, and you're supposed to do something with it. You're supposed to have action.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, you need to go quicker. You need to close the gap. You have your 2 hands with the Bible in one and open hand that you to work with. And it's, it makes me think of Gideon. They had, when they were rebuilding the wall with Nehemiah, they had a sword in one hand and a trowel
yes.
in the other.
Yes.
And the need to bring those closer together. When God speaks, then you need to act. And that turnaround time needs to be faster and faster until there. It's almost, he speaks, you do.
Yes. Yeah, I'm trying to learn how to have no gap.
No gap, yeah.
But sometimes, I don't know about you both, but sometimes I hear that still small voice. I know. By the way, we always want to test what we hear in prayer by the written word of God. But then sometimes I have a little gap there, and then I'm thinking, what's the consequences of this? Or do I need to make a little list in my mind of pros and cons? You know what I'm saying? But that's dangerous when we have a gap. We could actually lose a golden opportunity that God set up.
Right. When he speaks to us, we need to listen and act.
Right. Amen.
That's hard to do.
Yes. We'd rather like call our friends and say, what do you think about this? Right?
Yeah.
As believers, we often do that.
Get some confirmation
yes.
from somebody you can actually see and hear and
yes.
touch.
Yes.
Where God, is it God talking? Because, you know, mm-hmm. the devil likes to talk to us too.
Right.
And, you know, in some ways, when we talk to somebody else, aren't we deferring the decision-making power to somebody else where mm-hmm. God's not talking to them? He's actually talking to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now there's a tension in this concept because Scripture does say there's wisdom in
counselors,
much counsel. Or yes.
Yeah.
So there's a time for that, but sometimes we defer to others. We say, "What do you think I should do about this? I think God's telling me to do this, but what do you think?"
Yeah.
Do you think this is of God? We actually should be doing our homework on our knees and in the written word of God and do our homework with God in the word.
Well, and the thing, that because what comes to mind for me is sometimes you ask somebody and you know that's what you want to do and you know that's what you're supposed to do, but then, you know, your faith isn't 100% there. So you ask somebody else, well, no, they don't want to. Is the devil like helping them to convince you you should be doing what God wants you to do?
Yes, it can happen that way.
Yeah.
A lot of times when we do these these recordings here at camp meeting, we're talking to people who lead seminars, which you mm-hmm. are. You're calling one of them a revival. Is the morning considered to be the revival?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so we give our listeners an idea of what this revival, and you can listen to these little programs that will be on the Michigan MISDA.org. They've got a audiovisual thing where you can watch every program that's recorded,
okay.
video and audio. But mm-hmm. Give our listeners maybe this, after hearing about these 3 seminars, mm-hmm. the revival and 2 seminars, they'll want to go to this site. Will you give an overview, and mm-hmm. we have a 30-minute block and 20 mm-hmm. minutes left. Give an idea what that morning revival, we're recording this on Wednesday, so you're going to tell me something that I'm going to hear tomorrow and the next couple of days and be blessed, and so I'll be looking forward to it. Tell us about the revival, what you're trying to talk to the people here and online, but tell them that, and then the two family seminars
okay.
that you have in the afternoon.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So the revival series is called The Last Elijah. And because the Elijah that we read about in the Old Testament is giving us a picture of the calling that we have as believers in these very last days, we're all called to be Elijahs. Both of you are called to be Elijahs.
Amen.
And I'm called to be an Elijah. So every day it unpacks the story of Elijah, not just to be fascinated with his story. I mean, it really is a historical story. I mean, it really did happen.
A man of action.
Absolutely.
When
but
he
it's,
said, one of the things I remember when mm-hmm. he said, Elijah did.
Yes, yes. So every day we unpack, what does it mean to live like Elijah? And I have a book, by the way, called Live Like Elijah. And I don't mind telling Strong Tower about it because it's not for sale. It's a gift, so I don't mind telling.
We
I hope that's okay.
So, yeah. We never sell a book.
Yeah,
we
would
give them away.
I would give you as many books as you want to give away.
Praise the Lord.
So just like I'll go on the airwaves telling you that. I'll give you as many as you can give away.
We'll take that challenge.
Yeah, all you have to do is just post it in handling. But back to this. So every day unpacks what it means to live like Elijah. And you want me to tell you about tomorrow? Or are you going to fall asleep if I tell you?
No, I'm going to be there in anticipation because I'm going to do my homework.
Good. And by the way, the reason why I give homework in the Word is a true revival is not a program. And so I can call for revival, but you know that in all the places that I've called for revival, I have never brought revival.
Okay.
Not even one place.
Wow. And they called you to do that.
I know. And I told that to the last place, and they said, well, why did we call you then? Why did we pay your air ticket? I don't charge them, but they'll pay my air ticket, you know? And I said, well, I call for revival. But only the Holy Spirit can bring revival. And I said, I'm not trying to be funny with you, but it's a serious thing to actually voice.
There's participation.
Right. And we, like, there's things we can do, and that is prayer and repent and submit to God and go back to the Word of God. Absolutely. But He's the one who breathes the life of Christ back into our Laodicean heart. And you notice I said are because I'm part of Laodicea. We're all part of Laodicea. It's the last church, right? So every day unpacks it. So today's was on cry for fire, you know, true fire from heaven. And that's that fire that fell down on top of Mount Carmel is really a symbol of the Holy Spirit's true fire, right? You with
right,
me there?
Right. And there was nothing of Elijah.
Right.
No.
Everything he touched, he put the stones together to make the altar. He killed the bullock and laid the sacrifice. He
put the wood
cut
on
the
it.
Wood. Yes. Everything that he touched was consumed by that fire.
There was no evidence. You said you bring the grandchildren back, and there was nothing there.
Yes. Yes.
But you know what? To add that, the Baal thing, there were still stones that were there, but
yes.
God, there was nothing.
Yes. Absolutely. Only the evidence that God was there. There's a burn place on top of the mountain.
Yes.
That's it.
And
so
maybe a hole.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. That's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought about that. So tomorrow, well, let me back up. So today is a high point in Elijah's life. One of the high points, not the only. But, you know, after a high point with God, we often have what?
A disappointment.
Yeah. Well, and it's because sometimes the excitement of seeing God do mighty, mighty answers to prayer, well, that's special, but that doesn't happen every second of our life, right? We have lulls. We have hard things that happen. And so right after that, of course, he runs. It says the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he runs. And he actually outruns a chariot.
And that's, I've thought, it's amazing,
wow.
Right?
Yes. And in the dark, most likely, yeah. You know, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So it's dark, rainy night, muddy. And it's about a marathon in length, by the way, if you actually look at the geography. Mm-hmm. So about a marathon in the dark, in the rain, and probably no food for a day, right? Probably not. I don't think anybody was feeding him a sandwich because they didn't like him.
It's interesting. You know? he told Elijah, Ahab to eat, but I don't think Elijah, he was praying.
Well, yeah. Oh, I don't think Ahab invited him. I don't think he still liked him too much, you know. So tomorrow we zero in on a very important part of revival. Revival is not just for spiritual great men and women and boys and girls. Revival is for broken people. And, you know, we're all broken in different ways, right?
Yeah.
And so none of us are like all, you know, I'm patting my back now. I know my listeners here can't see that, but I'm patting my back. We can't pat our back and say, you know, we're good enough for revival. So tomorrow's passage is about a dark time in Elijah's life after a very powerful fire falling kind of story. Then something happens that's so terrifying that he actually runs the opposite way. And in Spirit of Prophecy, the writings of Ellen White, it says a very interesting thing. This was, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it was a pivotal time in the history of Israel. Everything, like the table was set for a mighty revival. Okay. And just in this perfect time, if he would have stood up to the threat that you'll hear about tomorrow, the threat, he would have seen the power of God even more, like it would have kept on going after the fire falling down.
Without a pause.
Right. But instead, he ran actually hundreds of miles the wrong way, away from Israel.
Yeah, sounds like Jonah.
Yes.
Yeah, when you
yes.
read that story, it is, you're kind of like, wait, what happened?
Yes.
You just saw this miracle of God.
Yes.
And then you get this, somebody's going to do something to you, and you're scared.
Yes. But it shows,
that's human nature.
Yes. And I'm encouraged that story's in there because I can sometimes get discouraged or yes. have a dark time right after a very full of light
yes.
time, you know,
yes.
and the mystery of it is who ran with him in the darkness.
Okay. Well, wait till tomorrow to find him, and go to the MISDA audiovisual to find out the rest of the story.
Yes.
You're saying MISDA, that's MISDA.org.
Now, you also have two other seminars, and I haven't mm-hmm. attended that, and I mentioned my wife has, and mm-hmm. really, really been blessed. Tell our listeners what the intent of this, and you mm-hmm. you teach these seminars across the country, across the world, mm-hmm. so somebody could join one of your seminars, and you can give that information about your contact information, websites, or mm-hmm. so on and so forth. But tell us about those afternoon, about leading your family mm-hmm. to the cross.
So the family seminar is definitely for all shapes and sizes of family. So, you know, we have all kinds of different families. Some of our families have three generations living under one roof, or four, you know, today. But it's about how to help our families be, like today's topic is about forgiveness, which even in believing families, when I say believing, families that believe in Jesus Christ and claim his name, sometimes we find the hardest people to forgive to be the people that we love the most.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So today is very practical. Each of these things are very practical, like skill sets, not just skills, that sounds actually too cold, but it's like, precious life-giving tools for happy marriages, and like today is forgiveness, but every day is another thing to use. Family worship, you know, we just had family worship tools yesterday.
How to conduct family
yes.
worship.
Yes, yes.
How to make it more than just a ritual, punch the clock, check off,
yes.
and go. What
yes.
were some of those hints that you shared that my wife says we want to do with our grandkids?
Oh, good. Well, one thing is to remember that our kids of any age, little kids, big kids, God didn't make them to learn all the same way. So we actually did a fun game in the room. It was really messy, by the way, because we have the chapel and the boys' dormitory and jammed with 100 people, if you can just picture that. You have
didn't
to kind
tell
of
the fire marshal this, right? I hope.
No. So I did a quick game with them to help them think through our family dynamics of how we learn differently from each other. Some kids are always asking why. Do either of you have kids in your life that are saying, why, Grandpa? Why, Grandma? Why do we have to do it that way?
Yeah,
so
kids like that.
And then there's some kids that are always asking the question, what? Just tell me what I need to do, and that's fine. Do you have any kids like that in your life?
Of course. It's almost like they're going to do as little as possible. They aren't going to fight you, but do as little as possible.
Well, sometimes as little as possible, but other times it just means they want content. They want factual things to learn that way, like lecture. Some kids ask the question, how? Just they want their practice kits. Like if you two on the radio here were doing a presentation on what the scripture, pray without ceasing. The kids that ask how would be like, okay, that's fine, but how do I do that? Like when
sleep.
I'm a student, when I'm asleep part of the day, you know, all that. They very practical questions. The fourth one is what if? These are the kids that are wanting to apply what you teach to their little box, which is usually a very big box. They're dreamers and visionary kind of kids. And so they're the kid that asks the question, if you're teaching, again, I'll use that same example, if you're teaching a lesson on Strong Tower, pray without ceasing, this kid will raise their hand and say, well, if I was on Pluto or Saturn, then what would that look like for me to pray 24/7? And if you're in a what box as a teacher, you can be saying, I just gave you factual things. You should pray about ceasing. Why are you asking this bizarre question? But this is how God tooled their minds. So with family worship, if we would be sensitive to the fact that if we would actually open a family worship, not by saying, hello, everybody, come on, kids or grandkids, time for family worship. And then they gather and you say, we're going to have a quick prayer and here's a Bible story tonight or here's a passage. That's quite abrupt, actually. So it's better to call them and then have a prayed through activity that grabs their attention and preps their heart like a can opener, like to prep their heart to be open to the written word of God. The written word of God is the what part, the factual thing, it's the foundation. And then after you have that, you want to give them a chance to practice something in that worship, even just for a moment, and to apply it. But not with your application for them. Let the Holy Spirit give them an application moment. So with all of that being said, they need to be kept short and sweet and full of the life of Jesus, like full. If they're boring, we need to repent, to be honest. We shouldn't make it boring for kids.
No, because kids, their attention span is short.
Uh-huh.
And you got to, you just got to get to the point and engage them.
Yes.
And let them think and then respond. Mm-hmm. They need to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what is your other seminar that you're doing?
It's about discipling children. So let's use another word than disciple, because that's not a word we use much today,
right,
necessarily. If you have a church family, you might use that word, but let's use the word mentor. So how to mentor our kids or grandkids for Jesus. How to help them trust Jesus, follow Jesus, share Jesus with Holy Spirit power. So every day is some practice. Yesterday, you two would have had fun. I wish you could have come with Strong Tower and gone around with us. We were doing Bible prayer walks across this campus.
Oh, amen.
And so the idea is, you want to hear real quick?
Yes,
that's
what we're
so this Bible prayer walk is, so for instance, I had one on Esther.
Okay.
And then I had another little family leading one on Jonathan, his armor bearer. You get the idea. So there's different ones. The other little family is leading one on Joseph's dreams. So the concept is this. I'll just play it off of the Esther one. So I gathered all the people, and I had young and old in it.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, let's pray first that the Holy Spirit will bless this prayer walk. So they did. And then find me something in nature that is ugly, something that is, it's old, it's decaying. You get the idea. It's something that's just not so beautiful. And I said, we're going to walk there. So we always have the person that's looking for that nature item. They lead the way. So we follow them there.
So you have different kids. You switch off for
yes.
each activity.
Yes. So we go to that place, and there was a dead little shrub or something, you get the idea. And we go to the story of Esther, and we read it in scripture, and I say, what is ugly in this girl's little life at the beginning?
That her parents died.
Yes.
Or killed.
And what else? What else is ugly about her young life? Her parents are dead, so that means she's a
orphan. Yeah.
Yep.
She's a captive.
She's a captive.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, she's beautiful. Yeah. Which you might say, that doesn't sound ugly. Well, it is if you don't have a protector. It's a scary thing for a little girl, right? Mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. in a foreign land.
Taking advantage.
Yes. So we read it in Scripture, and then we actually pray. We have prayer that we will not allow the things that we think are ugly in our life to define us. Mm-hmm. And then I said, go find a beautiful place in nature. We go there. And we read about how this little girl grew up, of course, became queen, had the crown. What do you, the crown? Thank you. Yeah, on her head. And well, that sounds beautiful. But what makes a person beautiful is Psalm 139. He created us in our mother's womb, right? And we made us fearfully, wonderfully made. So we have child and mom or dad, whatever. They put their hand all over their eyes, and we pray for each other. God, help us to find our beauty, mm-hmm. or as a little boy, our being handsome, in what Jesus made us to be, not what people say about us. You get the idea.
Yeah.
So it's little adventures to pray on by finding things. You hike all over the place. You can do this in your backyard, wherever. So we're doing all kinds of practical things every day for kids and their mentors.
Mm-hmm. So what is the results after giving the example of what happened yesterday? What is the impact on the young people and people of all ages? What is the outcome?
Well, what I'm seeing over the years is it helps young and old pray and to realize prayer is an adventure. It's a living thing between us and God. It's not just something to do before we eat, for instance. It gets young and old in the Word, which we need to be in the Word more. It gets kids off of their phone. I shouldn't just say kids, that's not fair. Kids and adults,
yeah.
off of our phones and into nature, which is God's great book, to go along with the Word of God.
What about John the Baptist turning the hearts of fathers and children together?
Yes, we definitely see that, definitely doing that. You know, I have a ministry called In Discipleship. If you go to InDiscipleship, InDiscipleship.org, you can see that I have many downloadable resources as a gift to you. God bless you and your families.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. And that is your ministry,
yes.
indiscipleship.org.
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, we've learned a lot, and I'm so glad you're here, but you are a busy man doing all these seminars and everything. So God, I pray that God will continue to sustain you and give you the energy you need to do this
Thank
work.
You. Thank
yes.
you.
For Jelaine Fenner, I'm Tom Majeure with Pastor Don McLafferty. And for Strong Tower Radio, God bless. Until next time, bye now.
Bye, folks.